Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast that focuses on the intersectionality of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We focus on how we can amplify the voices of women in STEM and make them aware of the multiple different career opportunities that are available. Hello, welcome to the Women in STEM podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, thank you, Kelly. I guess I'll start. My name is Asha Parekh. I'm co-founder and CEO of Frontline Medical Technologies.
Hey, my name is Seema Gagna, and I am the director of products, also at Frontline Medical Technologies.
Great. You've both mentioned something that you're both working on, and it seems like you're both passionate about it. I wanted to know if you could go into a bit more depth about what inspired its creation and how it works within STEM and how you made it possible to bring life-saving technology into hospitals, emergency rooms, and even military settings.
I think I'll let Ash take that one.
I can start. Feel free to jump in anytime, Seema. You know, really the inspiration of all of this was to help save lives. Too many patients, unfortunately, die from the type of hemorrhage that we target, which is non-compressible torso hemorrhage. And that was the first market that we targeted. And, you know, it's not that patients were surviving because of like our doctors or providers aren't skilled enough, but they just didn't have the right tools to be able to control that type of bleeding and do what they needed to do. And, you know, when we saw this gap and wanted to fill it, we didn't want to provide a tool that does its job, but then also leaves the patient with other distresses. So it's, you know, the goal was to minimize those complications, make the least amount of stress and distress to the patient, and allow them to hopefully survive and continue on in life as normal as possible. I don't know if you would add anything there, Seema, but...
No, I think that's exactly it. And our mission is to help save as many lives as possible. And so every time we hear there's a way that our little device can do that, we try to find a way to make it happen.
Asha, you've described your passion from translating science into real life solutions. How did your background in biomedical engineering prepare you into your steps of leadership as a founder and a CEO?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, it's definitely foundational for me. You know, we do a lot of group work in engineering, learned a lot of things where I did have to step up into some leadership types of roles. But honestly, being completely transparent, the business side of being a founder and CEO has largely been experiential learning. You know, without having that in terms of a formal education, it has been by various other means in life doing, you know, but living through it has been key to my own personal learning process and growing our team and, you know, learning how we work with each other. So, you know, I don't know that the engineering itself is solely, I think everything kind of has its piece and part of the foundation of what it teaches you. And in my case, I decided not to do any formal business training or anything like that. I will say I think there's a personality trait component to this as well. And I think even just as a person growing up and all of that, I think I kind of embody some of those things as well. So I think some of it's innate. That's kind of where I land on that.
Great. And Seema, I wanted to hear a bit more from you. I know your work bridges technical innovation with real life adaption. How did your background help you with this, and especially how do you manage things when it comes to being in such a high stake environment?
So, I mean, I think it starts with the device, right? So it's more than just the clinical efficacy of our device, but really it's strategic alignment across a bunch of things, right? For everything from education to access to advocacy, we like to build strong partnerships, you know, everything from our physicians to our trauma teams, because we need to make sure that these people know how to use their device when every second counts. So it's kind of combining all those pieces. So like interpersonal relationships, as well as making sure people are comfortable enough And obviously they have the right tool to do that. So we just, that's kind of what we do. We try to make it, we like to tailor the education, the whole rollout of our device to each hospital, each person. We really try to make it personal so that when they know when they need to use it, they feel comfortable. That's pretty much what I'm good at doing, I guess.
That's great to hear. And yeah, it sounds like you're doing such a great job at it. Over here at the Women in STEM podcast, representation really matters to us. What are the challenges you have faced as a woman in STEM and with regards to medtech leadership? I mean, this is often an area that I don't have much knowledge on, but hopefully you can give some of the listeners some insights.
Yeah, I can start, and Seema, feel free to jump in as usual. But, I will say, I think everyone can understand that these leadership roles, there's always like a little bit of the women in STEM, the women in business, there's that, you know, tag that goes with it. And we are in a male dominated field, you know, on both ends, from science and engineering to business is our, you know, male dominated fields. I think that there's, from a personal experience standpoint, and also how we approach the whole subject, they obviously play off of each other. I think that I always go by, you know, there are things that can happen to you, but our reaction is everything. We can't control how people are going to treat us, but we can control how we react to it. And, you know, one is, you know, carry on, not let it stop us from making our decisions and moving forward how we want to. You know, unfortunately, there are times where, you know, we may not be taken so seriously because we are women. We're, you know, I hate to say it, but all of, even the physical traits come into play. We're small, you know, women that, you know, may not look the part like a big, you know, powerful leader who, you know, comes off in a different way. A lot of the times, I'll give an example. Seema and I may be at a conference, and it's just that mindset that they automatically assume we're just the salespeople that are, for lack of a better picture, that are there, you know, looking pretty and trying to sell for the company. And it's not until they realize who we are that they actually take us a bit more seriously. And that's not to say that salespeople are not taken seriously. We all know they're very, very important and have their role. But the leadership aspect of it, as we're talking about right now, that part of it, it has a different lens and people look at you in a different way. So I would say, you know, our confidence and clarity in that matter, and correcting in a polite way sometimes, and, you know, there's no a need to be rude in the reaction or take it out of, you know, but again, letting them know that we are leadership, we are, you know, who we are, showing up as our authentic selves. Like, I think part of what we try to put out as our company is really being ourselves and attracting the right people towards us, whether that's from a sales partner, a customer, people that we want to work with on any level. It's, you know, we want to be with people that are on the same kind of, you know, mindset. And that's what keeps us aligned with our company core values. And so that's what we do a lot of the time. You know, that's probably the best example I could give from a frontline perspective. But I think, you know, just continuing to show up, and it is a bit of that bully, like, you know, you kind of feel like it's a bullying mentality or bullying thing going on, but you show up. Like, I think I'm very happy with how we are able to handle that type of thing. We don't have anyone in our company, I think, that is forward facing that would have a problem showing up and, you know, staying true to themselves if there was a situation where they felt they were being undermined or something like that.
I was going to pretty much say the same story. This has happened to us at conferences. And really, we just, like she said, we stay true to ourselves, but also true to our mission. We know what we are doing. And in that confidence, we're able to handle whatever the other people may think. And, especially like, yeah, we're just the sales reps, or they haven't told you. And we're like, who hasn't told us? We run the company. We know what's happening with the company. These are legitimate things that people have said to us at conferences. But again, we kind of just laugh it off. And we know internally that we where we're headed and what we're doing. So that allows us to handle these things with grace and just move forward.
Being of what you do is extremely important with regards to care that you offer. And oftentimes it appears that women are often disproportionately affected and underserved communities are affected when it comes to medical care, when it comes to healthcare. How does your work reflect the importance of equity within this area and accessibility to healthcare innovation?
Yeah, I mean, specifically for us, you know, postpartum hemorrhage, that is one that directly affects women, both from like a economically challenged areas, also just in general, right? Women are babies, so we're the ones that the issue, but our device can specifically help those patients. Also, cost isn't an issue with these types of devices, especially in this economy. Things are expensive. There's budgets. We made conscious efforts to keep our pricing, so we do not like become inaccessible to those people who need it. And that is something that it's tough. People have told us, "Hey, you should be pricing X like way higher than you are because of the level of your technology and stuff." But our whole ethos as a company, as who we are, is to literally help as many people as possible, including underserved communities and those who cannot access it, right? It's from places in Africa where they don't have gynecologists and they, you know, this could be the life or death thing, to, you know, a small hospital in middle America who just doesn't have the money to help their patients survive some of these situations. So that, I think, is really, we really try to cater these real world challenges. And, you know, we just really want to get the device and our technology, whether it's this or what we ever do in the future, want to get it to where it's needed the most. And these sometimes, a lot of the times, those are the communities.
No, sorry. I was just saying exactly, concurring with what Seema said. You know, we didn't want to serve any subpopulation, and accessibility is a pillar of our company as a whole. So was just agreeing with everything she said. That's all. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to add on to what you've been saying with regards to frontline medical, the fact that it's currently growing rapidly. And I wanted to know, what has it taken for you to get to that scale across borders while staying grounded in your mission statement?
Yeah, I can start there if you want to seem, you know, I think it is, building on what we were just talking about, is, you know, some creativity in how we approach some of our business worldwide, because we are dealing with different types of populations and different countries where everything is not equal and everyone doesn't have the same resources. So, you know, as we're scaling across these borders, that is very important. Again, we are a medical device business. We can't get away from that, but how we approach it, we definitely can manage that in different ways. And, you know, I think a big part of it also is reminding ourselves of why we're doing what we do, our end goal of helping as many patients as we possibly can, you know. And that also goes across something we touched on a bit earlier, but working with the right people, finding the right partners. As we scale into different areas in the world, we're extending our reach through other people. So we have to be aligned if we want to keep those core values the same. And, you know, it's a huge part of how we grow our business. So those are some of the things that, you know, we try to stay grounded in our mission with all of those steps as we scale. And, you know, we're still scaling right now. So it's you know, we're just launching internationally. So, you know, we're still growing and learning as we move along, but definitely take some steps to keep it like that as much as possible.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, I agree. It's about trying to get it where it needs it, but finding those strategic partners that are going to have that same ethos, that same mission that we do, and getting it out there to the people that need it. So, and yeah, it hasn't grown. The world is a very big place and there's a lot of people that could use it. So we'll continue to do the best we can to get it wherever we can.
And interestingly, Kelly, you know, with our device, you may have, you know, you've heard us talk about trauma and postpartum hemorrhage. There are also some other applications, you know, and that's something, it's like, we don't want to have partners necessarily who will only cater to trauma patients and not, they're not in the field of, like with the women giving birth, and those people in that area don't have access to it. So, you know, with our, even though we have one device, it's like we have different things to deal with in the geographies and then different things to manage when it comes to the applications. And, you know, we really make sure it's there on all fronts because we don't want that limited access. And it's like different layers that we have to deal with on it. But honestly, it's part of what makes it interesting as well, and part of the experience and part of our growth overall.
Both of you are actively involved in communities supporting women in STEM, engineering, and in business. What advice would you give to young women or girls who are curious about STEM but unsure if they have a place there?
I mean, for me, I know. So Asha is a professor and she probably gives tons of advice. But if someone were to ask me, also just, I guess, my journey and how we get there isn't as you know, normal per se as others, I would say, don't be afraid to try it. Like, don't be afraid to put your foot out there. Like, you know, we need different ideas. We need different voices. We like, you know, forget about imposter syndrome, forget about all that. Everybody can add value. Like, we need more than just, okay, no offense. We need more than engineers and physicians. We do need leaders and thought leaders and innovators. And, you know, because when, like, women, we are the ones, you know, that they say, like, you teach a man to fish, you've taught one person to fish, but you teach a woman to fish, you fed a whole family. So it's like, women are, like, when we're at the table, we can do a lot. And I think just with AI and with technological advances, there's a place for women at the table. And it hopefully in the future, it won't be such a thing like, oh, wow, you're a woman here. I'd be like, of course, there's like half the people here are women, or maybe more. I don't know. But I would say just try it. If you're not sure, just, you know, find somebody like Asha, find a mentor, find somebody you can talk to and really feel like, you know, there's much more than just, it's not so small. It's a big, vast world in STEM. So.
Yeah, exactly. I would just add to that, like, exactly, it's not so bucketed. You know, we don't have to fit into a certain, you know, bucket to succeed, and everyone has their own path. I always talk about individuality and how every single, just like Seema said, you know, we all, as women, we bring a different perspective to the table, and it's so important. And every individual has a different perspective. We all have different upbringings, different experiences that have shaped us into what our thoughts are, how they're formed, and all of that, right? So, you know, yeah, I always say, if you're curious, test it out. Like Seema said, you know, talk to people. And I would say, as many people as possible,
yeah.
As many people, because everyone's different, shadow somebody, get involved, take a workshop, take a course, and all of that to gauge your passion too. You may be curious. If you're interested, go for it. Again, I think the advice here is try, don't let anything stop you. And, you know, gauge that passion, because we need people who are passionate about STEM to step into the field, to move everything forward, to create our own paths. Like, that's really what we want. We don't want, it's such a controversial subject right now, but it's like, my own opinion is we don't want 50% women as a target. We want the most passionate people about what they're doing in that role. So, you know, if you're that person and you're curious and you're into it, then
try.
Yeah. And if you're not, also good to know that. Step away and go find something else that you're passionate about, because that's how you're going to give back to the world what you're best at and your best.
One of the reasons why I really was enthusiastic about having you both on the podcast is because I feel like so many women and girls are just not aware about how expansive STEM is. And I'm sure a lot of people have not really heard the term med tech. I'm curious to know, I feel like you've already covered it in your last answers, but are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think just kind of an extension of what we've been saying, right? Like, we want to see that shift towards more inclusive, like user-centric innovation. Like, we need decision makers, we need people who are excited, innovators. Things are going to continuously change and shift. Like, I mean, MedTech needs designers. MedTech needs like your physicians, the engineers, your, you know, logistics people. You need everything. It's not just one type of person. And it's about making it more accessible and really advancing the field as a whole, not just, you know, in our little bubble.
Yeah, I completely agree and echo all of Seema's words there. You know, I think that that passion we talk about and your the reasoning behind your motivation behind why you're doing what you're doing really matters. And, you know, again, at a higher level, like, all we want to do is help more people. Like, we never get sick of hear. We know, we obviously don't hear about every single case, but every time we hear even one individual story, it's like, oh my God, like, you know, to have that impact on somebody's life, you know, it's like, we just want to, and there are so many people, unfortunately, in that situation every day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all we want to do is help more and more and more and more people, you know? And it's, I think that makes a huge difference in not only individual motivation, but how you work together as a team and having collective, you know, passion and motivation to move the whole company forward. Because as Seema mentioned, from our physician to the engineer to the
business
sales people to the finance people to our marketing people and logistics and shipping, everyone has to want it just as bad, because it needs to be moved forward, you know, at that pace. And so you need everyone collectively moving together. So I think that's really important. I think, you know, MedTech as a whole has so much to offer. We personally as a company love to see new movement in the field. We want more people to come into the field. We want more innovation. That's how you move things forward, right? So, you know, it's really exciting to see, you know, as Seema mentioned, some of the new things that are advancing, and we have some things in the pipeline we're super excited about, and look forward to, you know, maybe connecting again in the future. Years down the road, it'll be interesting to see what's changed.
Wonderful. Thank you both so much for coming on the podcast and showing us how STEM innovation can save lives and how leadership is rooted in purpose and how that can change lives as well. How best can people connect with you? Where can people find out more about Frontline Medical's technology?
So our website is probably the best first stop. You can learn about us as well as the device. It's www.frontlinemedtech.com. We do have Instagram and LinkedIn. Instagram is at Frontline Cobra, and Frontline Medical Technologies on LinkedIn.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platform, leave a review and rating to help us reach more listeners, and follow our social medias, the latest updates and behind the scene content. Join us next week for another exciting episode. And until then, keep exploring the world of STEM and empowering women in STEM.